Hello. There we go. I've lost my gogs and I can't see anything without my gogs. Hold on a second. Miriam, just chat about something, Christmas or something. Well, I gotta find my... I found them. They're on my head. They're on my head. I'm still getting used to this whole wearing glasses thing. As an aging gentleman that I am, we just listened to a couple of Christmas tracks there. They've disappeared now. I know we started off with the Ramones with Rock and Roll High School, and then we did Aaron Carpenter, did a local track. Aaron Carpenter and the Revelators doing their track Strangers. Oh, and then that was, I think it was John Lennon with Happy Christmas, War Is Over. I do have a bit of a propensity for the Christmas songs, so you'll have to slightly bear with me. Also, bear with that buzz. I don't know if you can hear the buzz. It could just be me. Anyway, you're listening to Island Life here on Waiheke Radio. My name is Brent, and in the station at the moment, I have Maren Lawler. Maren, you got the head... Grab, chuck the headphones on, otherwise we'll... And Maren, if you've been following along at home... via the radio, we have had Maren on many times. She's a volunteer, I presume, for the Direction Matiatia, and has been a sort of a spokesperson, a scribe, our trusty scribe on this, and has been on the radio station numerous times to talk about the events. And, well, of course, some events have just unfolded recently that we are going to chat about. Maren, welcome to the station.
Yes, good morning, Brent.
So, I mean, you know, it's no getting around what we're going to talk about. The decision that came down after many years now, I suppose, we've been thinking about this and talking about this, but the decision has come down from the Environmental Court that the marina application by the marina, what was it called? Marina Limited?
Waiheke Marinas Limited.
Waiheke Marinas Limited, WML, I noticed, has been declined.
That's right, that's right. So the decision came down on Thursday.
Yep.
So,
Now that's funny. I mean, this is one of the things that I got the email from the judge, and he recommended that we read the document, and I attempted to start reading the document, but it's about 120 pages worth of really dense sort of legal-ish type vocabulary. Well, not on top of my reading list. So can you give us the Cliff's Notes version of what happened here?
Sure. So the decision was emailed out to the Section 274 parties, as well as all of the other parties who were involved. The court took the unusual decision of making a preamble to the decision, which is very unusual. And in the preamble, the judge wanted to make clear to everybody who's been interested in the court case that while we might all have come at the court case with single issues, no single issue determined the outcome, and that it was the complexity of all of the issues together. So in summary, what the decision actually did was to go through all of the issues and to identify the court's thinking about those issues, and then the latter part of the document is a weighing up process where they allocated weight to the significance of each particular issue.
Oh, okay.
And in summary form, it's probably fair to say that there were two issues where Direction Matiatia did not win.
Yep.
They were in transport and the ecology of Matiatia. But we, I guess, won on a whole host of other issues, and the most significant of those was the landscape and amenity value of Matiatia.
Okay.
And its cultural and spiritual significance to Maori.
Right, okay. And so the two that they were debatable on were transportation and the ecology. So did the court feel that so to sum that up, is that there wasn't going to be a transport impact from this and there wasn't going to be an impact on the ecology?
They thought that the transport impact would be less than minor, and that was based upon some modelling that had been done by the marina applicant about the number of cars that the marina would generate in terms of traffic flows. We actually disputed that data, but in the overall scheme of things, the court was comfortable that if the marina had gone ahead, that there would have been sufficient conditions that could be put in place to manage the traffic.
Right.
That said, it was still a little perturbing to read the decision and to see the judge say things like if there was an overflow of traffic from the marina, they could just park in the general public car park, particularly in the last couple of weeks where we've had people who have been parking down there and been locked in effectively by other cars parking on either side of them.
It would have been interesting to I remember when the judges walked around the area I suppose almost a year ago now, but I wonder what if they would have changed their mind if they had walked around there this week.
Absolutely, and it was one of the, I guess, the unfortunate aspects of the timing of the case was that all of the site visits were conducted outside of our high tourism season. That said, we had a judge who's very, very familiar with Waiheke and two hearing commissioners who know the area well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for people who are familiar with Waiheke, it's been already quite a shocking increase in traffic down there. And it seems to be quite, I mean, I've lived here for 13 years and I've never seen anything like it down there. But so anyway, that's, there's two. So the online, you've responded to some of the main questions that you've been receiving from people, and they seem to, there's two that sort of stuck out that I read about, but maybe you could reiterate. One was the question of whether the whether Waiheke Marinas Limited could appeal this this decision, and the second one was a question of the money. And a lot of people have, we know that a lot of money has been floated around on both sides. I mean, the amount of money that's been spent by Direction Matiati has been quite transparent, but we don't know how much has been spent by the what are they called? What's the technical word for those guys?
Applicant.
The applicant, that's right, the applicants. We don't know how much money they've spent, but presumably it's quite a lot. So maybe if we could just have a touch on those two questions. The first one being, can they appeal? Does the Direction Matiati suspect that they will appeal this decision?
Yeah. So a decision of the Environment Court in this particular instance on direct referral is a final decision. But in all of those cases, the losing party always has the opportunity to appeal, but it's a very limited opportunity. They can only appeal on a question of law. So they would effectively have to go to the High Court and argue that the judge got the law wrong or misapplied the relevant law.
Right.
So it's a very limited ground of appeal. They can't appeal on findings of fact. And it's not just that there was some question of law, but that the question of law was so significant that it would change the outcome of the verdict.
So it has to be a big blunder on the part of the court.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Will they appeal? Well, we've been through the decision with a fine-tooth comb. We've had the DMI legal team looking at it. I spent quite a bit of time talking with Kit Littlejohn, who's been one of our barristers, yesterday. The general feeling is that there is nothing in the decision that would be appealable. And interestingly, we believe that the judge and the hearing commissioners have taken their time in framing their decision to ensure that every T is crossed and every I dotted to ensure no appeal can be lodged. So if we were betting people, we'd say no, they won't appeal. Mm. The reality is, though, that we're dealing with an applicant that has done some very strange things throughout this case. And you know, perhaps the strangest of those was even back in December 2014 when the court gave them a very clear indication that, you know, a marina in this area was going to be very, very difficult to get through. They still came back with proposals for a slightly different shape and a slightly smaller size and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The other thing about appealing is that we would certainly, if the applicant sought to appeal, make an application for what's called security for costs, which would require them to deposit a very large bond with the court to ensure that if they were unsuccessful on appeal, that our costs would be paid.
Right.
And I suspect that neither the primary marine developer, Mr. Guthrie,
yep.
nor the two people who have been funding the proceedings of late, and that's most notably Philip Wardale and Tony Pope, will be interested in depositing a pretty significant sum of money into the court in the hope that they might be successful.
Right. So have these two others benefactors for this, for the marina, were they known? Are they, is that something that's come out recently because of this judgment, or is that something that you've just known about from asking around?
It's certainly something that we've known about since probably March or April of last year.
Yeah.
There was some reference to it in local media coverage in terms of Anaram, this company, which is, as people keep pointing out, Marina spelt backwards, being set up. And that we're aware of the sort of very close connection between particularly Mr. Guthrie and Mr. Pope.
Yeah.
Mr. Guthrie has, you know, been at pains to point out on previous occasions that, you know, Mr. Pope has been a key member of the push to develop a marina since it was first sort of touted something like 7 years ago now.
Yes, well, I mean, I was listening again to the only interview I think that that the applicants have made, really, which was Graham Guthrie was on the radio in 2015, I think early 2014, I can't remember exactly.
I think it was even earlier than that. I think it was 2000, it was March of 2013.
Right, okay. So, I mean, at that point he said that this had been already 5 years in the making, because there had been an earlier attempt at this which was, you know, reconsidered again. So we're sort of on a third or fourth change of the plan. And I was just interested in that, you know, one of the things that for a long time it has seemed like a personal pursuit from him and possibly a few other people. But he did in that interview suggest that they're not doing this for profit at all. He sort of, you know, he stated that there wasn't a profit motive. It was just so that people could have better access to boats, etc. But with this, with the addition of other investors and possibly what may happen in the question of the money, how some of these costs get recouped, do you think now that there was a profit motive involved in this the whole time, or was it, you know, what was there? Why were they so, why was he such a... Why did he pursue this to the extent where it seemed like there were certain points or junctures in this where he might have actually reconsidered another location? I mean, one thing he says on the beginning of that interview is that a marina is needed on Waiheke. And I think a lot of people would, you know, given our boating community and our, you know, that a marina possibly is a desirable structure, piece of infrastructure for an island. But no one wanted it there. Why didn't he change when he could?
And I guess it's interesting. I really can't sort of speak for Mr. Guthrie's earlier motivation. I think what has become really apparent to Director Matiatia throughout the proceedings is that with the addition of two notable investors, any notion that this was going to be some small non-profit venture went out the window, and we ended up with two developers who were interested in making money.
Yeah.
And that occurred at the same time that Direction Matiatia successfully obtained documents through official information avenues that indicated that there was at least some connection between the need to develop a marina at Matiatia in order to activate development at Matiatia. So there's a big piece of land behind the Harbour Masters called the Mixed Use Zone. The Marina case focused a lot on the future development of the Mixed Use Zone. And the document that we have from Auckland Council, which was prepared for the previous local board, indicated that in order for that mixed-use zone to be developed, there needed to be something at Matiatia that called a need into existence.
Right.
And the document indicates that that's a marina.
Yeah, okay. So let's just backtrack a little bit here. The second question that's come up a lot online is about the costs.
Yes.
And whether or not... There was a particular phrase, I think, in the document that suggested that this was still an open question. There's something about reserve.
Yes, so costs are reserved.
Yes.
And what that simply means is that, I guess in some respects, it's an invitation for any successful party in the proceedings to make an application to the court for the court to consider awarding costs against the unsuccessful party, the applicant.
Yeah.
So what we do know is that Direction Matiatia has spent in excess of $400,000 and we're just sort of finalising the accounts at the moment, but it's likely to be something like $480,000 that has been spent. We are aware that when an applicant takes a case on direct referral, they're required to pay the costs of counsel in the process.
Okay, yep.
And we believe that those costs are somewhere in the range of about $240,000.
Yep.
There is a presumption in favour of the applicant being forced to pay what are called the Crown costs. And the Crown costs are actually the costs of the administration of the case by the Environment Court.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, the applicant will have had to pay its own costs.
Yeah.
So parties at the moment are making that decision about whether to go to back to the Environment Court to ask for costs.
Mm-hmm.
Direction Matiatia decided yesterday after speaking with its barristers that we would, in fact, be making an application for costs.
Yeah. So if your application for costs were successful, presumably it would be only a percentage of what you had, what we didn't. I say we, yes, initially invested. And what would be the what would happen to that money? I mean, would it, you'd give Bob and Sue Jones back their $15, or is it, would it be, could, would there be an option for you guys to create, I mean, presumably you're a trust already, and you know, have a conversation, say, what are we going to do with this money? What would?
So certainly we'd only be looking to get a percentage of the costs back. While we might have spent $480,000, we potentially are looking at getting something between 10 and 50% of those costs back.
Right.
So you never ever in legal proceedings recover the full costs that you spend. When Direction Matiatia was established and when we anticipated being successful and getting costs awarded, the intention always was to create some pool of funds that would actually be available to protect Matiatia going forward,
right,
because this is just one of many assaults I think we can expect on Matiatia.
Right.
And Direction Matiatia will continue to exist long after this court case to ensure the sort of benefits of Matiatia remain. But the other thing that Direction Matiatia has had some discussion about is that the big losers in the context of the fundraising that's needed to happen for DMI are local community agencies and social services who generally rely upon the goodwill of the community of Waiheke and have discovered in recent years that it's been really difficult to raise money because people say, well, look, I'm funding DMI at the moment I've given the sum total of my allocation for donations to the cause at Matiatia.
Yeah. Interesting. So for the applicant's part, they like we said, they're sort of liable for certain amounts of court costs. Now, one of the other things that Mr. Guthrie mentioned in his interview with Chris Walker on the radio was that the applicant's company was, he said, was created and it had a $1 capital.
Yes.
And so I'm presuming that means that should they be approached for costs, they just say, well, we're bankrupt, we've only ever had a dollar, there is no money to repay the court or to repay this. Now, what would the court then, I mean, is that a done deal? They say, all right, here's a dollar?
Yeah. Ultimately, what would happen is that the if there are costs awarded by the court in favour of various parties against the company, and the company decided that it couldn't meet those costs, then it would go into liquidation.
Right. For a dollar.
For a dollar. The significance from the perspective of Direction Matiatia is threefold. Mm. The first thing is, if it goes into a liquidation, an official assignee is appointed, and that's an independent person who will go through the books of the applicant company to work out, firstly, whether there have been payments made to others that should be clawed back so that they could, that money can be fairly apportioned or distributed on a percentage basis across all creditors.
Right.
But the second thing is that it can look to see whether the sole director of the company, in this case Mr. Guthrie, has behaved in a manner which indicates that he should bear some personal responsibility for the debts. And if that was to be found to be the case, then there's some prospect of getting Mr. Guthrie to contribute to some of those costs that have been incurred. Ultimately, we're keen to pursue it because we think the people of Waiheke should be given an opportunity to recoup what they've invested into these proceedings. But part of it is for us about sending a very clear message to not just Mr. Guthrie, but to future developers at Matiatia, that we will pursue you and we will make certain that the community isn't at a disadvantage in having to fight inappropriate development.
Mm. Interesting. The plot thickens.
Absolutely.
So you've... what are there any other questions that have particularly come up that you wish to address at the moment?
It's probably those two at the moment that are most in people's minds. Can they appeal? Is this really over? And yes, we hope it is really over. And can we get back some costs? Look, we hope so. But in the overall scheme of things, that will be up to the court to decide, and then it will be in the lap of the gods as to whether there's any money to be had.
I guess my last question is, in your role as the scribe, you have contributed quite sort of almost a literary contribution towards this quite historic event. I mean, if we do, I remember a couple of weeks ago, Chris Walker had Paul Monan on the radio. She's had him on a couple of times now, and frequently the conversations come back to, you know, these large political events that happen on Waiheke are often around transportation, and they're often around Matiatia as a sort of a locus of transportation. And I was just thinking about how your letters and your posts that you made on Facebook, are we going to see a book of these things?
Nice. So we actually put together a book which we printed two copies of.
One for the library.
They were accompanied by some cartoons that Christine Gisby, who's the chairperson of Direction Matiatia, had contributed.
Right.
And we raffled those books off and raised about $1,500 for the cause. The intention now is to see how the rest of this case plays out, and we expect that it should be all done and dusted, subject to no appeal, by the end of January.
Okay.
We're going to most certainly then print that book in soft copy because it's much more affordable. People will be able to have a record of what's gone on. But I think that the sort of key thing about documenting it was that it's been a very complex legal process, and there's a real art to being able to explain that legal process in a way that people understand.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely... I mean, I also think it's been quite dramatic. It's had, you know, some quite dramatic turns at times. I mean, particularly on Waiheke, when the hearings came to Waiheke, there was some dramatic Shakespearean turns at times that went on. So it's been quite a phenomenal thing to watch. And we had at least the 8,000 people around here quite engrossed in its outcomes over the time. I remember a quote from Mr. Guthrie on his interview. You know, this was going to be the making of an island. Yes. He said. And whether it was the making or the unmaking or how it's all going to plan out, it's definitely a historical and momentous occasion for the place.
It was certainly the making of a community spirit.
Yes,
The incredible number of people who have contributed, and those contributions have taken so many different forms, from, you know, people who have donated their $5 to those who, like Christine Gisby, who have really given up a life.
Right.
To pursue it.
Okay. Thank you, Maren, for coming in, and I'm sure we'll there's still a few more things to unfold in this chapter to conclude this chapter of our history.
And there is a celebration.
Celebrations, I'm sure, in order.
Mm.
And we'll hear more about that, presumably.
Absolutely. So at this stage, people can pencil into their diaries the, I think it's Monday the 5th of January at 5 p.m. We're looking to have a huge community picnic event at Matiatia, but there'll be more details in the local press.
Nice. Thank you for coming in, Maren, and thank you for all your work at Direction Matiatia. And hopefully we can get Mr. Guthrie in here at some point to tell his side of this tale, if so willing. So thank you, Maren.
Thanks, Brent.